talking about our home. Talking about me and you. Things we'll do, I said our home.
Talking about our home.
Not talking about a one night stand. I wanna be your man, I said our home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Custom Home and Remodel Show, and Charleston's online home show, newhomecharleston.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the three custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every January, the Charleston Home and Design Show on Daniel Island, which happens every April at Family Circle Stadium on Daniel Island, and the Charleston Home and Design Show Fall Edition, which is coming up August 28th through the 30th at the Charleston Area Convention Center. Well, today's radio show is coming to you from Buck Lumber and Building Supply, and we're going to be talking to Ty Babb with Buck Lumber and Building Supply. So we talk about windows and doors. Also, Chris Harper with Harper Construction, a custom builder and remodeler, will be stopping by. Also, Chris Rose with Christopher Rose Architects will be talking to him as well. And finally, Nicole Norris, an interior designer, will be hearing from her as well. Well, we are 3 days removed from the unspeakable tragedy, the church shooting in downtown Charleston. And with our radio show, Talking About a Home, we typically stick to home building and remodeling topics, but I think it is appropriate to say a few words about this unspeakable tragedy that the Charleston area has experienced. It's such a shock because Charleston is not Ferguson. We're not Baltimore or Chicago. Charleston is a city with racial harmony, and I can speak about that from my own personal experience. I'm not a Charleston native. I grew up in northern New York State, near the Canadian border, Plattsburgh, New York, Dannemora, New York. You probably have been hearing about those particular towns on the news lately because for 6 years we lived in Dannemora, New York, where my parents both worked at the prison in Dannemora, where those two prisoners have broken out and they're still looking for those prisoners. So it's very strange for me to see the tiny town of Dannemora, where I spent fourth grade through ninth grade on national TV night after night, and now my adopted hometown of Charleston, South Carolina, is now in the national news. Growing up in northern New York State, near the Canadian border, there were very few black people. But somehow one of my best friends I made was a black kid in second grade named Seth. Also, I had a really, really good friend, one of my best friends in high school, happened to be black. And I say that only because there were very, very few black people in northern New York, right up near the Canadian border. And it's kind of a coincidence that happened. There was very little crime, very little racial strife in northern New York State. So when I moved to Charleston, I felt very comfortable buying my first house in 1991 near Hampton Park, where all my neighbors at the time were black. In fact, I'd tell my friends and family where I was buying a house and that it was a mixed neighborhood, and they joked that I was the mix. And my black neighbors on Ashley Avenue near Hampton Park were just so great. They welcomed me so warmly into their neighborhood. I was the only white guy on the block at that point, but they looked out for me. We all got along, so I can tell you firsthand that Charleston is a racially harmonious city. In fact, my neighbor would, when I was out of town or something, my neighbor would come over when I get back and say, this person knocked on your door Saturday at 2 o'clock, and I just wanted to let you know. And so they just, I always felt very looked out for. We all looked out for each other. And so I know firsthand that Charleston is a very racially harmonious city. And in the coming days and weeks, everyone living in Charleston is going to need the strength to get through this unspeakable tragedy. So I'd like to leave you with this. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with God. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times there was one only. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to God, "You promised me, God, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I've noticed that during my most trying periods of my life, there has only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" And the Lord replied, "The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you." I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Today's radio show is coming to you from Buck Lumber and Building Supply, located at 1911 Maybank Highway. And now we're talking with Ty Babb with Buck Lumber in the Buck Lumber Design Center. How you doing, Ty?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Ty, take a moment and tell everybody about Buck Lumber and Building Supply.
Well, Buck Lumber, we're a full-service lumber yard that includes a design center. Our design center is approximately 6,000 square feet, and we showcase everything from interior and exterior doors, trim profiles, molding, siding, and even some roofing materials.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Yeah, and Buck Lumber built this design center, I think, right during the recession, right? During about 2008, 2009?
We finished the building at the end of 2007.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And just in time for
just
the recession.
Just in time.
But it's an amazing facility, especially compared to the tiny little showroom that you all used to have.
Exactly.
And it must be a joy to be able to bring architects and custom builders and their clients to this state-of-the-art Buck Lumber Design Center.
It really is. As a matter of fact, yesterday we hosted a number of architects and builders when we installed a new Wyland lift and slide door system, a new display that we have. So we use it on a daily basis, whether it's walk-in clients. Oftentimes builders come in and we'll meet with their clients with us, and then often just stick around and use our conference room. Architects are regularly using it, and we use it after work for after hours events for architects as well.
Mm-hmm. And can you kind of take our listeners on a virtual tour of the Buck Lumber Design Center here?
Sure. Well, when you pull into the parking lot, it's behind our main retail building. We have a really nice arched mahogany entry door designed to give some people some thought as to when they walk into the building what it might be like, just kind of a visual for what their home might be like. And to the right is the Anderson quadrant of the display area, and we have displays from the Anderson A series line, the 400 series line, and the E series, and we show various types of windows and doors in there. Then the other half, we feature Marvin products, again with some more custom items over there, some all mahogany products that also illustrate different types of Muntin profiles, exterior colors, and just general different design ideas. And we also offer some interior door displays, as well as a good number of exterior door options as well.
And the nice thing is the way you have things set up here at the Buck Lumber Design Center is
You're not. It's very user friendly. It's you have vignettes that are set up, so you're looking at the doors and windows in wall settings, so
right.
that the homeowner, the end user, can envision what the doors and windows and other products will look like in their own home.
Right. We got a lot of feedback from architects very recently, actually, that we tried to make little snapshots of what rooms might be like. A lot of people are really visual, and it helps for people to envision what different siding might look like against a trim color, and what a different grill pattern might look like against horizontal siding or brick. We feel that it really helps people look at more than just a window on a set of rollers that you can move around anywhere.
Yeah.
It gives them a little bit more of a built-in feel in what their room might actually look like.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Let's talk about windows in particular. What are the Buck Lumber customers looking for these days as far as window choices?
That's a great question. We found that in the last probably 2 or 3 years, what we are selling, our product offering has expanded dramatically. Historically, we've sold a lot of Anderson and Marvin products, higher-end clad wood windows. As of late, we're finding that the market is demanding somewhat of a more value-minded product. So we're seeing more requests for an all-vinyl product. And we're also seeing that those companies are doing quite well in this environment.
Mm-hmm. The environment being?
Our coastal environment.
Mm-hmm.
Salt air, a lot of wind exposure, and those products have come a long way. But we typically, on any given week, will bid out anything from a very small starter home to a multi-million-dollar project on Kiowa.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of all of it.
Gotcha. And what about impact-rated windows? Are you finding that people are upgrading to impact-rated windows? And tell our listeners what an impact-rated window is.
Sure. So to begin with, an impact-rated window is one that's been tested to various criteria so that it will withstand a certain amount of wind and water, for an example, 8 inches of rain per hour at a certain mile per hour of wind. And then also it's withstood an impact test where we're going to shoot a 2x4 out of a cannon at a window and impact it two different times, then put it on a rack and cycle it through the positive and negative pressures that a house will experience during a storm. So it's a pretty involved testing process in a substantial window. And of course, the cost of the product changes dramatically with that upgrade. But we are seeing more and more requests for that. Used to be a pretty small percentage of our business, and now it's a pretty large percentage of our business.
It's a very passive product in that very, very nice for people who own second homes here in the Charleston area, because they don't have to worry about trying to hire somebody to board up their house if a storm is threatening or close the shutters or that kind of thing. As soon as when they leave their house, they lock their doors and windows, and the house is secure.
Exactly. I mean, it works well from that aspect. It's a no-brainer. And also, a lot of houses that we see here are elevated to start with. So many of the levels just aren't safe to reach with a ladder. Got a lot of second floor and even third floor windows that are way out of reasonable reach. And also the thing that we don't talk about too much is just the security aspect of it, not so much from the storms, but from crime.
Right, right. Because let's describe what would happen. What would happen if a burglar took a hammer and decided to smash a window in order to gain entry to a house? It was an impact-rated window.
It would result in something very similar to what you see when you see a damaged windshield on a car. The glass will break, but the vinyl laminate between the panes holds everything together, almost like a catcher's mitt. So it's not shatterproof by any stretch, but the idea is that it will break, catch itself, and not allow penetration through the window.
So a burglar would have to just hammer away at that and may not ever gain entry because of the special nature of the impact-rated windows.
I don't think a burglar with a sledgehammer could get through one of those windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that fire departments have noticed that could be a possible issue if, mm-hmm. if there's a house on fire or something like that, gaining entry into the house. But it is it's the most convenient hurricane protection
absolutely
system out there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, like you said, worry about crawling on ladders or hiring somebody to close your shutters, that kind of thing. Talk about the vinyl versus the wood clad. Why would someone buy a wood clad window versus a vinyl window that's going to be able to hold up to the salt air, the water, that kind of thing?
Several reasons that we see people that request the clad wood windows. A lot of times it's going to be an exterior color selection. You typically have a much broader range of color offerings in a clad wood window than you do a vinyl window. Oftentimes, too, the profiles and the aesthetics of a clad wood window look more authentic, more like an old wood window that you may see downtown. And in a lot of neighborhoods that have a BAR or, an architectural review board, they'll require those types of things. So sometimes it's mandated. Sometimes it's just personal choice. A lot of times on the inside, if it's a wood window, they're able to paint it one of the thousand shades of white that we know are out there. And a lot of times with vinyl windows, they're stuck with that color, which may or may not be acceptable.
Gotcha. And as far as brands for windows, you mentioned Marvin and Anderson. Are there any other brands that Buck Lumber carries?
Sure. We also deal with Herd. We work with Windsor. They round out our clad wood option. And then we deal with Silverline, MGM, PGT, Atrium are the vinyl products we deal with.
And as far as style of window, are people going with what kind of style of window are people going with?
Well, the windows break down into two pretty basic, or the most basic styles are either going to be double hung windows or single hung windows, and those the sash raise up and down, as opposed to a casement or awning window where the sash cranks out either horizontally or vertically. It depends a little bit on the style of the architecture, but more often than not, most of the architecture we see is pretty traditional here. So we probably see more double hung windows than we do casement type windows. Mm.
I love the casement windows. Mm. Those are so nice to be able to. Are there any issues with the little crank and the mechanism to open them?
Generally not. Most of the better windows that we deal with are prepared for corrosion resistant hardware, and with a little bit of owner maintenance over time, they'll last forever. Mm. If not, they're very easy to change.
Good deal. And all these window and door options are here for people to see at the Buck Lumber Design Center. So if you haven't visited this this design center, as Ty said, it's been around for about 8 years now. But and y'all are constantly changing your displays, right?
Monthly.
I noticed there was a guy over here. You had a crew doing drywall, so they're changing up a display, right?
Exactly.
Well, good. Well, tell everybody contact information for Buck Lumber and Building Supply and, your address and all that good stuff.
Sure. We're at 1911 Maybank Highway, which is just off of Folly Road. We're on the left-hand side of Maybank going towards the islands. You can reach us on our landline at 843-795-0150 or easier to reach us at bucklumber.com.
Okay, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Ty Babb with Buck Lumber and Building Supply. And thanks for hosting today's radio show. If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And today's radio show is coming to you from Buck Lumber and Building Supply, located at 1911 Maybank Highway in Charleston. And now we're talking with Chris Harper with Harper Construction. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Tim.
Good, good. Chris, take a moment and tell everybody about Harper Construction.
Thanks for asking. Harper Construction is a renovation company that's based out of Johns Island. Mm-hmm. We're down close to Kiawah and Seabrook. We do high-end renovation work on both of those islands. And we also do quite a bit of work on Johns Island, James Island, and West Ashley.
Gotcha. Okay, good deal. And what kind of projects does Harper Construction typically work on?
A lot of our projects come from real estate agents that we know. So a lot of times people will buy a house that's several years old, 20, 30 years old, and it needs a lot of updating. We'll go through with the people when they purchase the house and create a list of things to do, and then once they own the house, we renovate it and turn it into something that they want to live in.
Gotcha. All right. Does Harper Construction do mainly remodel work or new construction?
Most of our work is in the renovations. Yeah, we do have some new construction projects, but our primary business is in renovation.
Which do you prefer as a builder?
Well, I'll say that new construction is definitely easier, but we really enjoy the challenge of renovating older homes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. With renovating, I would guess that the old thing about you never know what's behind the wall. There might be some unanticipated issues or problems that pop up. How does Harper Construction handle that?
It's true. Definitely, there's a factor. You know, the unknown factor in renovation. Mm-hmm. I think that we've done enough projects at this point. We're pretty familiar with what we're going to find. Mm-hmm. So we try to take all that into account up front. Mm-hmm. So really, these days, we don't find too many things that we weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. I guess the experience is that, we have the experience with working with homes in this area at a certain level. So we kind of know what to anticipate up front. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I go around and look at all the different building permits around town, and I always see a lot of permits from Harper Construction being issued, like on Kiowa Island, for example. So can you talk about maybe a few projects in particular that Harper Construction has been involved with on Kiowa, just to kind of let our listeners understand a little bit what Harper Construction is capable of?
Okay. We do most of our business is actually on Kiowa. I guess it's probably the primary source of our business comes from that one particular island. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we do is additions, kitchens, and bathrooms. Mm-hmm. So in the last couple of years, we've had the pleasure of doing some really great projects. For example, last year we did a kitchen and master bathroom renovation on a house out on Terrapin Island. It was on the higher end of things, mm-hmm. As far as renovations go. It was a nice high-end renovation. We had a professional photographer come out and take pictures of it. And then an appliance company, Thermador, was running a contest last year. So we submitted some pictures of that kitchen to Thermador, and we actually won a national prize for that kitchen, where we were invited to go out to LA and, this big award ceremony, and we won a prize, and it was really awesome. We got some national recognition for our work there. We do a lot of, stuff that's not, at that high end. Mm-hmm. We actually work on quite a lot of condos and, the smaller units out on Kiowa as well. So people have rental properties that they're wanting to update to bring into like a gold or a bronze rental status, and we'll go in and update the kitchen, update the bathroom, update the flooring, a lot of things like that. Right now we're working for a couple out of Charlotte. They just bought their first home on Kiowa. It needed an extensive renovation, so we've got it completely gutted down to the studs, and we're totally redoing that right now. So we've got a lot going on, but a couple of big projects, that last one that I just talked about, being one of the bigger ones that we're doing right now.
Good deal. I think if someone built some of the first homes out on Kia were built, I think back in like what, 1980 or so?
The late 70s and early 80s, yeah, is when kind of there was a construction boom on Kiowa, and there are a lot of cottages in Night Heron, Sparrow Pond, and Inlet Cove that were built in the late 70s, early 80s. We renovate those regularly. Mm-hmm. We're actually working on a couple of those right now.
Right. I remember there was a question that was asked of an architect who did a lot of work out in Kiowa. And the question was, when Kiowa is built out, will that be the end of construction out there? And I think the architect said something about, when that happens, there's going to be tons of remodeling going on. And what kinds of issues do you see with some of these older homes on Kiowa? Is there termite damage, or
water intrusion.
I think the biggest thing that we find when we're remodeling homes on Kiawah, especially those older homes that fall into that range, like from the early 80s, is deferred maintenance. So people let the roof go too long, or there was a lot of humidity in the crawl space and they didn't address the problem. So, you know, there's rotted wood and issues with insulation. Frequently we'll have to, you know, address plumbing issues or, you know, bring electrical issues up to code. You know, things like that are, I guess, the biggest thing that I find.
The homeowner who, the absentee homeowner, this is a second home for them, and they start looking at those power bills they, that they're getting every month when at their, you know, if they live in Chicago or something, and they decide to leave the AC off when they leave after their visit to Kiowa or something.
All kind of situations that lead to deferred maintenance on these homes. I mean, I've seen all kind of things. People get divorced, people die, people, you know, had properties that end up in like trusts, you know, and it's owned by multiple people. Like you said, you know, the glamour is gone. They just don't feel like, you know, they don't have time or they're too busy. I mean, there's just all kind of things that, that lead people to, you know, ignore their second home or their vacation home. So, you know, you had a good point about Kiawah being built out. I mean, right now there's a huge boom of new construction on Kiawah. If you drive across the island, you can see, you know, there are many new homes going up. There's quite a few, there's plenty of dirt still left on Kiawah to build. I mean, there's plenty of buildable lots on Kiawah. I don't think we're in any danger of new construction going away on Kiawah in the near future. If it got to that point in the distant future that there was no more buildable space, I think at that point, you know, it would probably be scraping off the old houses and building new ones.
That's, I mean,
there's some component of that going on there now.
Yeah, maybe a 2,200 square foot, which was maybe a dream home for somebody back in 1978. Somebody buys that house and they're buying it for the property, for the dirt. And
that's
so
correct.
they take down the house and build brand new.
Yeah. I have a video that I took of, you know, $2-3 million beachfront home getting torn down by a bulldozer not too long ago.
Wow.
I just, you know, it was just something to see.
Yeah.
Know,
that's interesting.
This giant house.
Right.
But
right.
somebody bought the lot, you know, and the house for the lot, and they're building a new house on it. There's a beautiful new house on it now.
Plus updating, you know, that house built in 1978 had the finest materials, the finest formica countertops, and the probably a small dining room, and just people's needs have changed, their tastes have changed.
Sure.
So
there's a handful of new construction home builders on Kiawah. They've been there for a long time. The guys that are doing that work do excellent work. The houses that they built 10, 20, 30 years ago, they're still great homes. So, I mean, you know, there's definitely good bones to work with when we're remodeling homes like that out there. We find, you know, that just, you know, sometimes people just want things updated. They want new cabinets. They want new tile. They just want things to look more modern.
Right.
So, you know, it's nice to work on Kiawah where we can work with a home that's, you know, got good bones to it.
Good deal. Well, how can folks get more information from Harper Construction?
We have a website. Our website is chrisharperconstruction.com. They're free to call they can call us at 737-4745. And we're always available by email. You can find our email on our website or call. We're happy to do free estimates anytime, and would love to talk to you.
And Harper Construction also has a separate roofing company, right? A sister company?
We do roofing. Yes, sir.
And that's good because there's we're coming up on 26 years from Hugo, and there was a lot of post Hugo roofs that are now in need. I'm seeing lots and lots of re-roofing permits whenever I look.
That was precisely our thought when we started the roofing company last year. I hired a couple of guys to do roofing sales. They go out and look for exactly what you said, like just post Hugo roofs that are in need of replacement. We find that a lot of there's a lot of people in the Charleston area that have wind damage or hail damage. Sometimes the insurance company that they have their wind and hail insurance through will supplement some of the cost of the roof, so we're able to assist them with all of that.
Good deal. So, yeah. Same contact information?
Same contact information, chrisharperconstruction.com, or they can call us at the office, 737-4745.
Okay, well, we have been talking with Chris Harper with Harper Construction. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from the Buck Lumber Design Center at 1911 Maybank Highway. And now we're talking with architect Chris Rose with Christopher Rose Architects. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm fine.
Good. Chris, take a moment and tell everybody about Christopher Rose Architects.
We're a custom residential architecture firm, been in practice here in Charleston for the past 30 years. We're a full service provider from early, even finding sites for, and property for people to taking them through the whole process and doing construction observation as the project is getting built and to finish.
Gotcha. Where would people see some of the homes that Christopher Rose Architects has designed?
Well, I've actually done stuff all over the world, but primarily we do some renovations downtown. Actually, we're working on a couple of interesting renovations downtown right now, but primarily Kiowa, Seabrook, Isle of Palms, and Sullivan's, kind of the Sea Islands are kind of our primary area.
How many architects do you have on staff at Christopher Rose Architects?
The firm we have seven people.
Seven people, mm-hmm. Good deal. And I'll bet you folks are busy these days.
Yes. Well, it slowed down just a little bit recently, and it's starting to pick back up again. So it's good because with the most recent unpleasantness of the recession, you get a little panicky when that happens. But it's our staff back up, and we make sure we have work for everybody.
Right, right. Well, Chris, you're familiar with the Buck Lumber Design Center. You've been here numerous times, and you bring your clients here. What do you like about the Buck Lumber Design Center?
Well, they've got a little bit of everything, which is great. The main, when we're in the process, because of Charleston and our hurricane rating, the window packages have gotten to be basically it's the number two highest cost in the house. So the number one is your framing, your structure, and the number two are the window and door package. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we tell our clients. So we're real fastidious about your windows and doors because that's kind of your weakest link in your exterior envelope of the building. Mm-hmm. And here also with the hurricane winds, we have horizontal rain. And so, flashing and all around the windows is very, very key. So it's great here so that, we can look and see what what an Anderson window looks like or what a Wyland window sliding door and then within that, even within that one manufacturer, the different types, if they want to do a wood product or a clad product or a fiberglass product. So depending on budgets and look and feel for what client and function, the client can see what a French slider looks like or an outswing French or lift slide door. There's also, they have them here on the showroom for people to kind of kick the tires and see how it looks.
Right, and they're all set up in vignettes, so it's very user friendly. Talk about the. I noticed you were just talking to one of the Buck Lumber people about the new Wyland window display here.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of knowing Sue Wyland, the owner of the company, for a number of years. They have. In my 30 years of practice here in Charleston, we keep getting the insurance company keeps upping the ante on the hurricane requirements. And so, certain manufacturers, they have to do all this elaborate testing of the doors and windows to make sure they meet the certain wind requirements. Well, we started out with A missile in Charleston. Now we're up to D missile. So, they keep getting And so the one bad thing about that was that you ended up with this heavy sill coming across the bottom of the door. And so, you know, everybody likes it to be nice and flush. There's no trip hazard, that sort of thing. Well, Weiland has a patented, they have these big lift slide doors, which has wonderful kind of German hardware that it's actually mounted. Some of these big lift slide doors hang from the top. Mm-hmm. And when, if you think about that, you're putting these really heavy, because again, this hurricane glass is super heavy. Mm-hmm. So you're putting a heavy glass in a big door hanging from a beam. So that beam's got to be pretty sizable. The nice thing about the Weiland doors are they are supported from the floor. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have a huge beam ahead. So they're a lot more stable. Plus, they have a patented flush sill system that's hurricane rated. And just recently, they got bought out by Anderson Windows, I think about a year and a half ago. And so actually, Anderson is now incorporating that technology and slowly releasing several, you know, that flush sill situation and the lift slide option into more of the Anderson product. So mm-hmm. it works out. We still have the Weiland if you want to do the big mahogany, you know, custom large doors that are hurricane rated, or you know, if you have, you know, different budget, then there's Anderson has more cost competitive pricing, you know, in their product line. So it's kind of a win-win for both companies.
Are you seeing most of your customers choosing impact rated windows?
Oh yes, yeah.
So that's just a given now.
Well, the insurance, it's just, I mean, it's a requirement. Mm-hmm. So
well, they could use shutters, but
you could use shutters, but you don't get the. What the insurance companies actually did, a house, actually two houses for the guy who was CEO of Chubb Insurance. But what they do is the insurance companies won't give you a break on your insurance if you use shutters. Mm. Because they consider, for example, you're in New York and you've got a house and there's a hurricane coming and you call a guy to go close your shutters. Well, you know, who knows with, you know, if they close the island off or won't allow access, he may or may not be able to get to you there and close it. So, of course, insurance companies always look at the worst case scenario. So they, what they call passive, which would be the hurricane glass. And mm-hmm. that, if you have the hurricane glass in the window, that is, you know, so it doesn't have to be covered to meet the requirement. And that's why, that's where you'll get the insurance break. And it's pretty significant because we just did a home and, the code doesn't require your entry door to be hurricane rated, but we went kind of did an aftermarket, you know, shutter system for the front door, and it reduced one client's insurance claims $15,000 a year.
Oh my goodness!
I was like, wow, okay, that's pretty darn significant. Yeah. The whole system was like $3,000 to do that. I'm like, that's a no brainer.
Right, right.
So,
well, Chris, on a different subject, you, as an architect, have been a very influential in the Charleston area. You were involved heavily in bringing, starting CRAN, the Custom Residential Architect Network here in Charleston. And CRAN, there's CRAN chapters all over the U.S. now. Recently, I guess it was last September, you managed to get the CRAN National Conference to come here to Charleston. You helped arrange for one of the keynote speakers, Andres Duany. Is that my pronounce?
Mm-hmm.
Duany.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a keynote speaker. He helped do the master plan for ION here in the Mount Pleasant. And you kind of got Mayor Riley involved with Andres, and then all of a sudden this past spring, Andres came to Charleston and really kind of shook things up a bit here in the Charleston area.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's I guess the one Andres and his wife Elizabeth Plater Zyberg have a firm down in, and they also teach in Miami. And anyway, they're kind of their famous project is Seaside Florida. Well, Sullivan's Island was their case study to do the land planning of a traditional family-oriented beach historical beach community. Hmm. So that Sullivan's was that. So they've always, and also Duane uses Charleston as kind of his test, because when he goes to another community, and they're like, oh, well, you know, you're asking us to do denser housing or to do this. It won't work. It can't work. It's impossible. He said it's been working beautifully in Charleston for 300 years.
Right.
He always uses us as an example of things that does work. Mm-hmm. You just need to kind of think out of the box and also remember where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, so he came back to Charleston because we've got, especially Upper King Street, there's some really large projects going under construction, and the local Board of Architectural Review, it just kind of gets inundated for them to, you know, and Duane came and met with the mayor, and actually I guess has been hired by the mayor to kind of come up with some strategies so that we could have maybe another board or some other review for these larger projects that could be a lot more appropriate, because the BAR at the current situation don't really have the full capacity to kind of talk about main things like scale, massing, and because some of these buildings are quite gargantuan compared to kind of the colonial sized buildings around mm-hmm. them, and you really need to think about context.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we don't want to lose what we, you know, what made so, you know, makes Charleston so special that everybody wants to come here. So
I liked how he came in and very quickly turned around a report or a his feedback. He shared his feedback almost immediately with local design professionals and a lot of the city leaders and preservation leaders here in town, and kind of ruffled a few feathers too.
I think that's good. I mean, I think you shouldn't be complacent, and you shouldn't. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think he said we really need to shake it up, and you really need to think about it. I thought that was great. I know he did ruffle a few feathers, but I thought they probably needed to be ruffled, you mm-hmm, know, because mm-hmm. it's. Because you do, you kind of get complacent, and they'll let, you know, oh, we let this slip. And you're like, oh, well, soon if you're going to let another one slip, then it's, you know, then it becomes a pattern. And mm-hmm. then you kind of develop, you're doing things that aren't really, aren't for the betterment of the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found it to be very interesting. I didn't get a chance to hear him speak when he was here, but I read all about it in the newspaper, and it was neat because I was like, hey, I know why he's here. It's because of Chris Rose bringing him to Cran. And
well, if you want to hear him, you can go to Houzz.com, Houzz.com.
Uh-huh.
And his keynote is on the Houzz website.
Oh, very good. So, very good. Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll have a lot of listeners do that. Well, tell everyone how folks can get more information about Christopher Rose Architect.
You can go to our website, www.chrisrosearchitects.com,
mm-hmm.
and or call us 843-559-7670, and we'll be happy. And we also have a presence on Houzz as mm-hmm. well. We've got a Houzz website as well. So, and be happy to talk to you about doing everything from a small addition or renovation to a total new construction.
Good deal. All right. Well, we've been talking with Chris Rose, architect with Christopher Rose Architects. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. And now we're talking with Nicole Norris with Nicole Norris Design Studio. How you doing, Nicole?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thank you so much.
Sure. Nicole, take a moment and tell everybody about Nicole Norris Design Studio.
Well, it's hard to believe I've been in the business for 25 years, and I love what I do 98% of the time. The other 2% of the time we don't worry about. But Nicole Norris Design Studio started in Sumter, South Carolina. And I have been doing work in the Charleston market for about 17 or 18 years, and I've finally gotten a presence here and a location in Mount Pleasant, and am increasing my business in this market. And things have been going quite well, and I'm excited about it.
Good. Now, Nicole, just to update our audience, you're an interior designer by trade, right? A professional interior designer.
Yes, Tim. I went to Florida State University, graduated. It was an accredited program, and went on to work for some interior designers to gain experience and have taken and passed the national exam for interior designers, which is a two-day intensive exam, very rigorous, and it goes into a lot of detail, construction detail and space planning, history of design, and so on.
And you have these four letters after your name, ASID. What does that mean, Nicole Norris, ASID?
Well, Tim, that means I'm a professional member of the American Society of Interior Designers. And to be a professional member, you have to have worked and taken the NCIDQ and passed it successfully. And that's what it means. It means you have the education experience and testing to do the work.
Gotcha. And there are those that that may have the title interior designer, but unless you are a member of the American Society of Interior Designers, those folks are doing a lot of continuing education, and it kind of gives clients that hire you a certain amount of peace of mind when it comes to knowing that you have the education background, the professional background, and not just maybe someone who is good at rearranging furniture or something.
I think there's definitely an advantage to hiring a professional interior designer. There are two big professional organizations in the country, and ASID is one of the two, and that's the one I'm a member of. I think that the advantage you have is that the designer has the knowledge of some very detailed construction knowledge, and also how to work with the other trades that are involved in the building process. There's a lot more to it than color and finishes and accessories, which are certainly a part of it. Decorating is a part of interior design, but people often have the misconception in what an interior designer does. It's almost an interior architect, although we don't deal with load-bearing structures, but we have the capability to do interior space planning for non-load-bearing structures.
Gotcha. And in a well-designed room or space, you can there's almost a feeling that you get when you walk into a space. And on the flip side of that, we've all done this before. We've walked into a space that's maybe too small for the furnishings or something, and you kind of get that claustrophobic feeling. But for a space that is well designed by an interior designer, you're not gonna experience that kind of thing, right?
Right. I like to say that as an interior designer, we design from the inside out. An architect often designs from the outside in, and so that's why we make such a great marriage in a team. I have had clients come to me with house plans that are drawn and ready to go, and I like to give input in the beginning of the building process because I may see something that was missed in the building construction drawing process that could help, for instance, increase the visual size of the room, or to make sure that the two chairs fits in the niche in the master bedroom. Something that is definitely important to them, but it needs to work.
I've always heard stories about, for example, placement of doors and door swings and maybe the placement of windows, and sometimes those things are overlooked until it's too late, and the homeowner, you never want the homeowner to have regrets after building a new house or undergoing a really big renovation, and an interior designer can really help take that risk out of the equation, right?
Definitely. As a matter of fact, yesterday I had a meeting with a client and we were discussing the doors specifically. And we changed some doors to pocket doors that were originally designed as swing doors. We widened certain doors and very detailed discussions about what we needed to do to make sure that the doors functioned correctly for them to use the space.
and that maybe had and it's so hard for a homeowner to look at a set of house plans. It seems like I always have so much respect for architects and builders and interior designers who can look at a set of house plans and instantly understand. And a homeowner doesn't necessarily have that. They have to. When we built our house, I had to get out spray paint, and we spray painted the ground just so we had a sense of the size of the rooms. And I'm building my daughter's a tree house, and we got out some chalk the other day, and because we realized we had built the tree house too big. So homeowners have to see, they're visual, they have to and you can kind of help translate those house plans for a homeowner.
Yes, a plan is like a map, and you do have to learn how to read maps in school. And to read a house plan, I like to be able to instantly look at a house plan, and I can scan it and immediately find things that might need to be changed or tweaked a little bit. And I think it translates, I can help translate that to the homeowner who might can't visualize something. And I think use of spray paint and those kind of things are great tools. But I also try to get my clients to trust me for my experience and expertise, and to let them know that with my experience that I know what the end result will look like. But I also try to share the visual with them when I can.
That's a good point you bring up about trust, because as an interior designer, you're not trying to project your what you like or what you like to see visually in someone's house. You want the client to, you want to, your how do you bring that out of the client so that the client gets exactly what they want, not what you want?
That's a really good question, Tim. I definitely have over the years tried to work with my clients to make their homes a reflection of them or their businesses or offices. And I think that that's really important. But I work with them knowing that the use of certain elements and good elements and principles in design are required. And I have to educate my clients on these particulars and with their tastes and my guidance, we can put together and co-create a beautiful end result.
Do you ever get a homeowner who might be a little fearful of maybe some of the suggestions that you're making, and how do you talk them off the ledge?
Definitely. It happens more than you know, and over the years I've gotten more cool about handling clients and their hesitations, and I try to explain logically why I'm suggesting what I'm suggesting, and then perhaps show them some visuals and further explain it, because some people need to see things. And then eventually, you know, they have the end call whether they do what I advise or not, but I hope that they trust me and go ahead and go with my suggestions.
Yeah, and if you look in any of the national home magazines, the you look at these beautiful rooms in these national magazines, and these rooms were designed by an interior designer, and somewhere along the line, the interior designer had to say to the homeowner, trust me, it's going to look beautiful. And that's why they're hiring, someone hires an interior designer, is to get an end result that is something superior to what that homeowner could do on their own.
Yes, I've had clients that I've worked with over the course of years, and I have literally had to talk them into doing things, but the end result has been very favorable. And now certain particular clients who like to argue with me occasionally say, well, you're always right anyway, so I'll just go ahead and listen to you.
Yeah, and what kinds of, can you think back to your past experiences where, you know, when the homeowner saw that finished product, what, you know, how did they express their pleasure with what you had done?
Well, I think that when they call me back to do another project or to do a renovation or addition to their current space, that's the biggest compliment to me, the repeat business. That way I know that they've enjoyed what I've done for them and that they want me to work with them on future projects.
You ever get a homeowner who says, I could have never dreamt this up on my own. I could have never done this had we not hired you.
I do, and most of the time I have had people say that the money that they have spent for the interior design services saved them money in the long run and was money very well spent.
Well, that's a good chance to segue. How does an interior designer save a homeowner money, and how does an interior designer charge for their services?
Well, the first part of your question, an interior designer can help a homeowner save by keeping them from making costly mistakes. So we can head them off if they're going to make a mistake, or we can put them in the right direction from the get-go. And secondly, designers charge in various fee structures. So there's not one specific way a designer charges, but many professional interior designers charge for their time on a consulting on an hourly basis. And some have a fee built in or a fixed fee, and some charge for their products and services or a combination of both.
I gotcha. And you don't necessarily have to spend a fortune with an interior designer. A lot of homeowners have questions about maybe picking paint colors and making sure they're not making a mistake with making sure that the colors that they pick flow from one room to another. And if a homeowner called Nicole Norris Design Studio and had just, you know, some quick questions, you'd be able to help them for an hour or two?
Sure, Tim. We like to help people on a consulting basis when needed. An hour or two can make a lot of impact on a homeowner's or a project. And oftentimes that leads to further encounters or further business because they see the impact of what we can do and they like the results.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of the free design consultations that we offer at our January home show with professional ASID interior designers, and they're only 20 to 30 minute consults, and if a homeowner comes prepared, they can accomplish quite a bit. But what often happens is it's like a sampling opportunity. The homeowner gets a chance to see what it's like to work with an interior designer, and then suddenly, no, I can't let you go. I need more time.
Yes, I had the opportunity to do some of those consultations, and it was delightful. I've done it in the past, and I had two people who were quite prepared, and I think that I gave them some sound advice, and we had some great meetings.
Good deal. Well, tell everyone how they can get in touch with Nicole Norris Design Studio.
Well, first of all, we have a website, NicoleNorrisDesign.com, and our contact information is on that website. And the phone number is 803-773-8083. And we would love to answer any questions that you have about our business or to help you if you have any needs in the interior design realm. Thank you.
Okay, terrific. Well, we have been talking with Nicole Norris with Nicole Norris Design Studio. Thanks so much, Nicole.
Thank you, Tim. I'm talking about a home. Talking about me and you. The things we'll do. I said a home. I'm not talking about a one-night stand. I want to be your man. I said a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show and the Custom Home and Remodel Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit newhomecharleston.com, Charleston's online home show, and home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you.